Welcome to the Hump Day edition of the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Oh, Steve, you missed all the puppies.
Oh, there's puppies?
It was a day of puppies for the morning show.
Are there still puppies?
I think they're on their way out.
Yeah,
they're still hanging around.
The puppies are still hanging around. I can look out in the control room. So we had puppies come in. Maybe Donna's grabbing a puppy and going to bring it into the studio.
Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, we brought the puppies in. Go grab a puppy, Donna.
All right, I'll be right back.
Okay.
These are pretty puppies. I see a picture of this puppy. What breed of puppy were we dealing with?
It is a blue something or other.
I love it. I want it to be blue. It looks almost like it would... It looks like a puppy of a big dog, like it would grow into a medium to big sized dog. Am I right or wrong there?
Yeah, they're going to grow probably into a medium sized dog. And we brought in the puppies. They're from the Animal Humane Society because Alexis and I are co-captains of Team My Talk for the Animal Humane Society Walk for Animals.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, and that's happening May 4th at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. You can go to mytalk1071.com, keyword animals, and join our team. And you can walk with us. You can join virtually. Whatever works for you. And look.
Oh,
I know we're not a visual
puppy.
We're not a visual medium, but Donna is cradling a puppy right now. Now, Donna, is this the one that you bonded with earlier?
Yes. Yes.
There was an imprinting situation from Twilight. He's like your baby wolf now. That's a cute little doggy. Oh, hi, buddy.
Sweet.
Yeah. And these pups, they're not available for adoption yet. They just got fixed, you know, so their situations were taken care of. But check the Animal Humane Society's website. Continually check it, because when they are ready to find the forever home, they will be up on their website. So
I would ask the question of Donna, who's got a puppy right there in her arms and talks about wanting another dog, but really prefers to rescue dogs. Donna, you got a rescue puppy in your arms. What's standing in the way?
The puppy part.
Oh, you don't feel like you have the energy to do that now?
No, yeah. I can't deal with the chewing and the... Okay. It would be a disservice to the puppy. I don't know, Holly. I see your face.
What do you mean it would be a disservice to the puppy?
Because I feel like I'm not a puppy person.
It's really cute, Donna, and there are lots of folks around the Twin Cities who would help you train that puppy real good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And these are very trainable dogs, these blue heelers.
Yeah, blue heelers.
They just want to please. You know, they really, they're just...
I gotta look these up.
You know, they're Australian cattle dogs.
A unique looking dog, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, yeah, and I'm seeing them full grown. They don't get as big. I thought, I was looking at it, and I thought, okay, that's going to be like a husky size or maybe a little smaller than a German Shepherd. But
oh, no, tinier
it's
than
much
that.
Lower to the ground.
Yeah.
Like 40, you know, 45
Yeah, it looks
pounds.
Like about that. Yeah, like sort of low to the ground, medium size, but a thick trunk.
Yeah, they're like
they end up developing.
They're like the sensible sedans of the dog world.
There are a lot of those types of dogs in at rescues.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those, you know, a lot of pitties. It's just a very common kind of dog.
Yeah, and these pups traveled up from Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Oh my word.
Okay.
And when you donate to the Animal Humane Society, you know, your money goes towards things like that, bringing up pups from other parts of the country so that they can find their forever homes here.
That's
so many things that they do at the Animal Humane Society.
Yes, and take part in the walk if you can.
Please.
That'd be so great.
May the 4th, dress up your dog like Yoda.
Yes.
Oh, fun.
Great idea, Holly. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that
way
would,
to go,
that would, thank you to the... Animal Humane Society for bringing those pups in. Mm. People are coming from near and far in this building.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, they're coming from all over. They're like, we got to get there. Well, this is great. What a wonderful start to a hump day. We've got your normal shenanigans on a Wednesday, which means at 11:30 today, hour 3, if you listen on the podcast, we will play Whose Voice Is It Anyway? Identifying celebrity voices out of context.
Yay.
Name that tune style as we bid against one another. College pop culture knowledge today at 10:30. I do want to quickly hit on, just give a couple of shout-outs. One to Caitlin Clark, one to Beyonce. Caitlin Clark, of course, the superstar from the Iowa women's basketball program, and they are now in the Final Four. Well, last night they had two nights ago, they had a game against LSU It was a rematch of last year's championship game. You've got Angel Reese, the star player from LSU, Caitlin Clark, who many think is, you know, the greatest female, certainly scorer, that we've ever seen before. So they go head-to-head, and guess what? They set a record for the most eyeballs that have ever watched a women's basketball game, college or pro.
Cool.
They ended up getting over 12 million viewers. Here's the really cool thing. 12 million viewers, and you're like, okay, you're being cynical right now, and you're saying, okay, it was the most viewed women's sports basketball game of all time, whatever. Well, it had a bigger audience than any regular season Major League Baseball game last year, any regular season NHL game last year, and any regular season NBA game last year. That means any game during the regular season that, let's say, LeBron James was in, maybe LeBron, Steph Curry, none of those regular season games outdrew the eyeballs that tuned in to watch Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese on Monday night. And last year, the NBA Finals, only one of the NBA Finals games had a bigger audience than Caitlin Clark had on Monday night. So it was really breakthrough. She shattered her own record of 9 million, which was last year's title game. And now she is in the Final Four, and she's going to be going against UConn and Paige Beckers, who has a Minnesota tie, is from the Twin Cities. And so they are two of the premier stars in women's college basketball. So now they're going to face off in the Final Four.
Okay.
Now awesome. To Beyonce. Let us give Beyonce flowers for giving Dolly Parton flowers. Beyonce gave soul writing credit for Jolene on her new album to Dolly Parton. Why that matters, you're thinking, okay, it was a cover. Yeah, actually, not really. The melody was the same chord progression, the same chorus more or less, and the same title. But if you look, and I listened to it this morning while looking at Dolly's original lyrics, there are a whole, I mean, it's quite different. It's all rooted in the same story,
sure.
But it's all Beyonce language. But even though she went in and changed it all, Dolly Parton is the sole writing credit and gets the sole writing money from Jolene on Cowboy Carter.
That's great. That's very respectful. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, respect.
R-E-S-E-S-E.
Nice, Steve.
Written by Otis Redding, that one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Sitting on the dock of the bay.
That's right.
Wonder if he wrote it while sitting on the dock of the bay.
I was thinking of Natural Woman. I'm like, didn't Carol King write that?
Yeah, no. She did.
She wrote that one, but not the one. Yeah,
no,
I got
Respect
confused.
Was written by Otis Redding.
Otis!
Put some respect on his name, Donna. We like Carol King, but we can't just say she wrote everything now just because
right.
We like the musical.
You're right. Sorry, I blew up.
This is going to be great.
Let's take a breath. Take a break.
Why don't we wake our brains up when we come back? It's hump day. Let's shake the fog off.
Love it.
I have two things. I have a whole bunch. I have like a double dip of things that make you go, huh? But see if you can get either of these. These are a little history geography based. John Adams was the first U.S. president to wear blank. Don't like that one? Try this one. What is the most rectangular country in the world? And where does the United States rank on rectangularity? All of that and more. When we come back, it's Donna, Steve, my talk. Friends, hey, what's up? It's Stevie Boy from my buddies over at the Canopy Group. Let's do some learning this morning. Five quick facts. Keep up. Fact number one. The Canopy Group writes more new business in 1 month than a captive agent writes in 3 years. Well, how in the heck do they do that? Well, fact number two. The Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one, which leads us to fact three. The Canopy Group offers annual policies, not 6 month policies. You know what those do? They leave you at risk for 2 premium increases every year. Ain't nobody want that? Fact number four. The Canopy Group offers 1 deductible at claim time, not 2, not 3, 4, or in some cases even more, just 1. And fact number five. The Canopy Group will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies each and every year. Captive insurance agencies, they can't shop for you because they've only got 1 company. Look, now you got the facts. It's time for you to get options. And I know just the place. TheCanopyGroup.com. That's TheCanopyGroup.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Tolls, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
You are listening to the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1, where talk is fun and we all have puppy fever.
Donna, get a puppy. Yeah.
There's just that one. Ellie. People are emailing about it, too. And by the way, they're going to go up for adoption maybe in a week. But keep checking the Humane Society website. Okay?
May I suggest one last thing to you, Donna, as I try to pressure you into making decisions?
I can't go outside anymore because everyone's pressuring me.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a peer pressure situation.
Here's what people would say. It's something for you to consider. Puppy phases are puppy phases, right? There's no two ways around them. But in many ways, your life is really set up quite well for a puppy. You're not doing drop-offs, pickups, battling schedules. You don't have a baby in the house or anything like that. You, I think, would be really successful as a puppy mother. And you naturally have the heart for dogs. And so when you look at just your current lifestyle, the season of life, and your heart for dogs, this could be a pretty beautiful thing.
I see what you're doing there.
What am I doing? I do get a commission, full disclosure, if we're able to get you to rescue that dog. That's not true. What do you think I'm trying to do? I'm just trying to get you to get a dog.
I know. But I'm dog sitting through the end of June.
Oh, so you are booked and busy.
I am booked. I'm watching Belanger's dogs for a week. I'm watching my friend Olivia's dogs for 10 days. This weekend, I'm watching someone's dogs.
Hey, do you want to, I'm going to go to Disney later this year. You want to watch Rex?
What time of year?
November.
By then, I'll probably have a puppy.
All right.
But yeah,
I missed my window.
I could do that.
I missed my window.
Sure. Keep me
I'll keep you up.
Keep
there.
Me posted. Okay. Right. Thanks,
I got
everybody.
Things. That'll make you go, huh?
Would you like this to be a vigil?
I think so because I have so many.
Okay. Let me see if I could find it.
You're on just puppy pages right now, aren't you? She's just every
pretty much.
Every window, every tab on her browser, just different dog things.
Things that make you go.
I tease too. Do you want the one about rectangular countries or John Adams being the first president to wear blank? Where do you want to start?
John Adams.
All right. John Adams was the first president to wear blank. He was the second president, but he was the first president to wear
glasses.
Blank.
Eyeglasses.
Great guess, Donna. Really good guess. Incorrect. Incorrect.
Okay.
It had to do with
underwear.
No, but I was going to point us to the southern half of one's body.
Yeah, because George Washington was just freeballing it, you know.
You know how they do.
How they did.
Founding fathers.
Yeah, crossing the Potomac.
Okay, shoes.
He was not the first president to wear shoes. Also, George Washington, not freeballing and just barefoot.
Okay,
I mean, it would be a look, though.
This is telling us more about what she thought of George Washington and how he got around as opposed
to... How about pants with zippers?
Ah, good one.
That was close. Oh. Not right.
Belt. A belt.
I'm going to put this one out of its misery.
No. This is too much fun.
It's not either of those.
Is it a...
Holly said a form of it in her answer.
Oh, right.
But then she added too much stuff. She got too specific.
Pants?
Ding, ding, ding.
What?
The first president to wear full pants, John Adams. George Washington only wore knee-length pants and stockings. Now, that's the George Washington we remember, right, Donna?
You damn right.
As was the style at the time.
George and I went to high school together.
Let's see. All right, let's talk about rectangular countries, rather. Let's do this in two parts. Just in case anybody would know this, care to guess what the most rectangular country in the world is?
I do not.
All right, so here's the other option. I would like you to open a map, Donna, on the computer in front of you. Close your dog windows. Close the dog chat.
Dang it. All right.
I got 15%. When do these dogs leave? I have 15% of Donna's attention right now.
All right, now I'm Googling. All right, what am I looking at?
Just
a map of the world.
Map of the world. And by looking, can we determine?
Most rectangular.
The most, yes. And for context, the United States happens to rank, I believe, 169th in rectangularity.
I'm going to give it to Libya.
We're going to go Libya.
Libya, big money.
Show
big
me money. Libya.
No.
Eh. It is not Libya.
Ukraine.
It is not Ukraine, Donna.
Okay.
Again, the United States, 169th in the world ranking of rectangular countries.
Steve, I'd like to submit a guess.
All righty.
How about Kazakhstan? Big money.
Yeah.
Show
good
me
answer.
Kazakhstan.
No. Australia.
Also wrong, and it's a continent.
Okay. Let's go.
How about Mongolia? Mongolia, big money. Big
show
money.
Me Mongolia.
It's Sudan.
Let us stay in. Let's hang out in Africa.
All right, all right. Back to Africa over
and
here.
And I got to be honest, when I look at it, I'm like, it doesn't look super rectangular, but I guess there aren't a lot of pure rectangular state or countries.
Ethiopia.
Oh, you were so close, Donna.
Dang it.
Somalia.
No.
Oh.
Not close geographically. She was close with the E sound.
Oh. Eritrea.
Wait, Donna, this is here we go. Billy on the street again. Name a woman. Just name another country that starts with the letter E.
Oh.
Oh, word. She's looking at a map, too.
Egypt.
There we go.
All right. Oh. Got it.
The most rectangular country in the world is Egypt. What a dumb bit of information. But now you'll always know that. Here's something else. The fountains at the Mall of America here in the Twin Cities collects about $25,000 in coins each year.
That's amazing. Good job, everybody.
The first thing that someone invented that could break the sound barrier was the whip.
Cool.
Johnny Carson liked being alone so much that his $81 million home in Malibu, California, only had one bedroom, which meant he never had to host guests like overnight for any sort of extended stay.
Can you repeat the name of the person you just said?
I can. Johnny Carson.
Okay. One bedroom, huh?
One bedroom, but $81 million.
Wow.
So, yeah. I know, Donna.
Interesting.
The word aardvark comes from the word aardvark in Afrikaans, which means earth pig.
Herper. Earth pig. Oh, my God. He's such an earth pig.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, entertainment news. Stay there. It's Donna and Steve.
Hello, everybody. It is Donna here to tell you about my friends over at Energy Savers Fireplaces. If you've been thinking about a fireplace, maybe switching out a wood-burning one, which I did with one of the fireplaces in my house, I was like, I don't want to deal with this wood. It gives me a headache. So I switched it out for a gas insert, and I absolutely love it. Well, Energy Savers Fireplaces can help you with any type of product as far as fireplaces go. You want to do a wood-burning stove. You want to do a potbelly stove. You want to do something for a smaller space, a larger space. You want to do something in your yard with a fire pit. They can help you from start to finish. When you stop by their showroom, they're going to help you from your initial shopping to the last piece of installation. They are there to answer your questions and to provide you with the absolutely best experience. EnergySaversFireplaces.com, that's a good place to start. You could also stop by their showroom. Family owned and operated since 1976 off Highway 36 in Oakdale. All right, we're back. Thanks for listening. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, where talk is fun.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Alrighty.
We ain't getting serious today. We're having fun.
Our goal every day is to not get serious. If we can avoid it, we try to do so at all costs. Who wants to be serious?
Not me.
In doses.
Only As needed.
As needed.
Thank you.
I saw a rather surprising number from Amazon Prime. Jake Gyllenhaal, his version of Roadhouse, the remake of the Patrick Swayze 80s flick, mm-hmm. came out a couple weekends ago. And it's been met with mixed reviews, both from critics and fans alike.
Okay.
But get this. Apparently, it has been viewed 50 million times. I repeat, the remake of Roadhouse has been viewed 50 million times.
Holy smokes.
That is a record for Prime Video. Those numbers were shared just over a week after, so pretty much like 10 days after it came out, two weekends worth. It's a lot. Here's what Conor McGregor, the UFC star, the guy who once, boxed Floyd Mayweather, you know, he's big deal in the world of UFC and MMA. He was in this movie. Here's the context. He put it in 50 million viewers over two weekends.
Damn.
That's 750 million at the box office in 10 days. Insane. Congrats to all the team. It was a pleasure. Actually, first of all, I like how he's, you know, contextualizing that number. It wasn't 50 million viewers, it was 50 million views. Frankly, it's more likely that it was more than 50 million people who saw it, because most people aren't watching alone. I'm sure the median's like at 2.3 or something like that.
Always forget about that.
So if you're doing the box office number, it would actually be higher than that. But that's also, while it's a fun comparison, that's also an unfair comparison, because no one maybe feels like they're paying for it on Prime, because if you already have a Prime membership, you don't have to pay extra to see that movie, to my knowledge. That's just baked into your $170 or whatever you pay for the year to get your packages delivered free and the content. So it's a fun comparison, probably not a fair comparison, but still, 50 million views is huge. And also, I would like to personally thank Mr. Bezos, Jeffrey Bezos, for putting this, for telling us how many homes viewed it as opposed to how many minutes it was watched. Don't give me minutes anymore. I don't know what we're talking about when we do, when you say, oh, here's a new movie and this movie has been watched for 700 million minutes. Okay. What's that mean? Break it down. Give me eyeballs, not duration.
Okay. Durop.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have a confession.
This is a confession.
I've never seen Roadhouse.
I have a double confession.
Okay.
Neither have I.
Holly?
I've seen both.
Whoa. Whoa.
We watched the new one, too?
Whoa. I watched the new one when it dropped.
Well,
so you were one of the 50 million?
Yeah. Eyeballs watched it.
You watched it on Prime.
Yeah.
Your overall take. Which one was better?
Well, my preference is for the original. My criticism of this remake is that there's a lot of digital effects in the fighting scenes that move it into the uncanny valley, meaning it's like, okay, Jake Gyllenhaal, you can't move like that. People can't move like that. And that just took me out of the action.
A little bit of the realism goes away.
Yeah, a little bit of the realism goes away, but maybe that's just a beef with modern filmmaking that I have in general. However, overall, a pretty entertaining yarn.
Okay.
You know,
yarn.
There was a time that I was at an Avatar party and I was chatting with James Cameron. Whatever, guys, it's my truth. This is my story.
Oh my God, I thought you meant you were digitally at a digital Avatar party where everyone's an avatar.
Yeah,
that's I put my big called... Apple Vision Pro on and I was like, sorry, Lou, I've got plans tonight.
That's so what was it in my Animal Crossing? Like,
No, but we were in London covering Avatar way back when it came out.
Hold
back
on
in like
a
2010.
Second. Drop something.
And yeah, whatever. I was at a party and James Cameron was holding court with anyone who would pay him attention, which was everyone in the room. And to his credit, he would bop around from one little group to the next little group and was very talkative with all the members of the media that were there, no matter how big or small their outlet was. But at one point, he was talking in this little group about these, like, action scenes, and this is a different takeaway from what Holly's mentioning, but he was criticizing films for very often in a battle scene you don't know what side is right, left, what's up or down, because there's so many cuts that it was, that you're just like discombobulated as to what am I watching? Where are we in this sequence? So if I recall, he would do something where he would ask his editors to show him like a scene and then show it to him again with like a flipped image so that he could make sure that it was all making sense and not confusing, that the viewer could sit down and watch it and know this spear came from the right side of the screen and now it's landed here on the left side of the screen, as opposed to edit, and you're just like, holy crap, that was a lot, and it looks like those people won, but I don't know how we got here. Donna, I hang out with directors, okay?
All right.
Granted, it was only one time by invite only, and I've never been asked back, but I did it. What am I supposed to hide that?
Cool, Steve. That's awesome. Do you want me to ask a follow-up question or anything?
We talked about this at lunch yesterday.
Who is your favorite director that you've ever met? See, I'm trying.
Holly, we had a lunch yesterday and we talked about, we were talking about like chemistry on the air and stuff like that. Yeah. And we were talking about how one of the best things you can do as a co-host, as a voice on any show, is to ask a follow-up question.
And my rule is no follow-up questions.
Yeah, I thought that was the rule of the program.
It used to be on this one until yesterday's lunch.
And so then I always know when Donna is largely uninterested, because I'll finish some diatribe. And then if it's hit with just, okay, cool, awesome, that's just her way of saying either I wasn't listening or honestly, I just don't care. Are you done? Did you have a good time, though, telling your story? But yesterday you were like, I'm going to get better at that. That's a good point. Yeah. And I could do a better job, too.
Of being more interesting.
You guys, way to yes and each other.
Oh, I'm trying.
That was good.
Yeah. Steve, who was your favorite director that you've had, you know, that you've encountered?
That you've shared hors d'oeuvres with?
Well, I thought maybe you would have asked more like a question of like, oh, what was going on at this party?
I know, don't get to pick the follow-up question.
All right. You're right. Beggars can't be choosers. I'll take any question. Yeah, probably, I don't know, like J.J. Abrams, let's say. Oh. But I only spoke with him ever briefly, like in a red carpet line.
Okay, that counts. All right.
I think I spoke with him.
Okay, you probably didn't.
I don't know.
This is feeling a little sketch.
It was A.A. Abrams. I'm sorry. Were you conducting this interview, Steve, on Hollywood Boulevard by any chance?
This guy looked just like him.
Did he ask for $10 for the picture?
Exactly.
Did
you tip him?
Yeah, he kept pushing for money and like, let's just do the picture and get it over with.
Oh,
and then
put
his hand out. Speaking of old name drop stories, I did tell my two of my kids last night, the story of me meeting Michael Jackson at Disney World for the first time. And when I told them the whole thing and I stroke his hair and then I scream, Michael, yes.
What?
And then they said,
oh, Holly, please. You don't know this story?
No.
Oh, well, Steve, why don't you just...
Here's the one minute. For our longtime listeners,
they're
like, do we have to hear this story?
I know.
Wait,
for
what
the
year was this?
Time?
Sorry, new to me. It has to be new to somebody.
You're right about that. And actually, that was sort of the punchline of last night is after I told my kids this story, my son said, how old were you? Were you like a kid? I said, I was 19. And he was like, Dad, like, why would you embarrass yourself like that?
Yep.
We were at Disney World. I was 19. Driving up from a wedding down in Tampa, we said, hey, let's just go to Disney. My mom, my friend Nick, and me, the three of us, we go to get on Space Mountain, and there's a large crowd gathered at the exit of the ride, and I couldn't make any sense of it. And I went over and said, what's everybody doing here? And they said, Michael Jackson is in there riding Space Mountain. So they were at the exit hoping to see the King of Pop after he came out. The rumor was that he had gone on it multiple times, like, you know, I'll go again. And so my mom and friend said, we're going to go on the ride. And I was like, I'm going to stay out here because if Michael Jackson walks out of this ride, this is going to be a real surreal moment that I will not soon forget. 10 minutes go by, 15 minutes go by, starts to rain. And I'm thinking, what a stupid choice I've made. Then pop, 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 umbrellas go up, multiple umbrellas. The handlers come out and there in living color is Michael Jackson, who, no surprise to anyone, is not in athleisure. He's dressed like he's about to walk on a stage and perform. You know it's Michael. He looks the whole thing. He walks through. Handler's too concerned with the umbrellas and keeping him dry, so he presumably didn't just wash away, that you could shake his hand. I reach forward, I shake his hand, and I probably shook his hand real time for like 5 to 7 seconds. It was a long, prolonged handshake.
This is the part where Steve's going to tell you what his hand felt like. Please.
It was much thicker and meatier than you would think. Almost as though he was retaining water, like he had just gotten off of a flight.
Or he ate a lot of salt.
Could have been that. Mm-hmm. I then release the grip and he continues to walk on. Instantly, I realize all of the handlers are not pushing anybody away because they're just trying to keep him dry. And then I thought he's so close to me. So I reach my hand forward and I stroke the back of his hair.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
His hair.
Now it's getting
dry,
cringe. Very cringe.
Sort of straw-ish, drier than you would think.
Sure, yeah.
But it was a full stroke of the back of his hair. Hair between all of my fingers. And then the puzzling moment was after this happened, I was suddenly so excited by it that I said genuinely like this, Michael, yes! And that was how that sad story ends. And that's where my kids were like, you did what? You were how old? Like, Dad, maybe if you're 7, you yell, Michael, yes.
Correct.
But you were 19.
Yes.
Had a fake diamond stud earring in.
Oh, God.
A lined up goatee.
Did you have the puka shell necklace?
I never did get a puka shell necklace.
Because
I couldn't, like, find a good one. I always wanted one.
You were either wearing Hollister.
Yes, for sure.
Hollister.
American Eagle.
Yes.
Or
Aeropostale or whatever.
Yeah, one of those three.
I never felt like I could pull off Abercrombie. I had like one Abercrombie shirt my whole life. It felt like that was a little more expensive than Hollister, was a touch more approachable.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Man, the good old days.
Am I right?
Anyway.
Good story.
Hey, it kept us from talking more about P. Diddy.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know if that's better. We went P. Diddy to Michael Jackson. I think there's a open for debate as to who has more negative press.
Correct. I'm impressed that your kids knew who Michael Jackson was.
Yes, and then I started asking them about Prince as well.
Oh.
And then we had some interesting conversations about Prince. My son didn't know that he lived in Chanhassen. I was like, bro, he's like just right there. He was at Walgreens.
I'm sure he has multiple properties, or did.
It seems like he spent most of his time here.
You think?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't think I think he just liked to be in his studio. Paisley Park was where he was comfortable. And my daughter said we should go tour it someday. So that is what will get me to go tour Paisley Park. Is my daughter saying, like, I'd like to see that.
You'll love it. It's very well done.
I'd love to see inside of it. And do you see the elevator where he died?
I don't think they. Yeah, no.
And then we were talking about the...
You know the room that we're in. But go ahead, sorry.
Just the irony of the line. Don't let the elevator bring you down. Mm-hmm. And that's where he died.
Damn, Steve. Michael, yes!
We'll take a break.
All right.
When we come back, it'll be time for Seeing Something and Say Something. Oh, man, I got some funny ones. What about this? Somebody asked the internet if your non-dominant hands became robotic, but you could put a gadget on it. I'm going to give you 5 gadget possibilities, and then you tell me which one you would choose.
Okay, I have one in mind.
Wonderful.
Actually.
We'll see if it's already on the list. We'll get into that.
Woo!
And more dumb stuff when we come back. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk.
Michael, yeah.
Hey friends, it's Steve. You know, the season is changing and now is the time to begin planning your winter adventures here in Minnesota. From dog sledding across a frozen lake to dining in an igloo, winter can be magical in Minnesota. So start planning your winter getaway and visit one of the world's largest malls or catch a touring Broadway production. Get your free monthly travel e-newsletter and start planning your dream trip or browse through endless events and activities happening throughout the entire state by visiting exploreminnesota.com.
It's the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1, where talk is fun. And if you see something, you should say something. So should we do that right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, if you see something, say something. Oh, that is catchy, huh?
Time for If You See Something, Say Something with Donna and Steve.
If you see something, say something. Come on and party tonight.
Hey,
no.
What's the matter?
I lost my story.
No.
I lost it. This is a bummer. Let's power through.
Okay.
As a team.
All right.
Somebody asked, if your non-dominant hand became robotic and you can include a gadget on your hand, what would you end up wanting? Now, and they said gadget, but the thing that actually goes at the top of the list, which I would not want, is a super strong grip. So that robotic hand could be like, and like super tight grip on anything. I don't feel like that would be awesome, but that's what topped the list.
Okay.
There are a few other options.
Okay. I found this. Okay.
You found this. One of the other options, which I kind of like, is that if I remember correctly, Donna, your fingers could be screwdrivers.
Oh, cool.
So at any point, it's like, oh, that needs tightened. Hang on. Zzz, boom. Done. No toolbox. No walk to the garage. Another one that I'm surprised did not top the list was having a smartphone embedded on like the palm of your hand. So you could always just, anytime you wanted, never again do you say, where's my phone? You just lift up your non-dominant hand and boom, screen.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I like that one.
That's a good one. I was just going to be a simpleton and say a toothbrush because I saw this thing online. I don't know.
Thank you, Ollie. Am I the only one who's finding her bizarre?
I did not think it through.
Well, why did you feel like a toothbrush would be a good thing to permanently have on your hand?
Yeah. To scrub things. I don't know.
Because you're not going to want to stick that in your mouth.
Oh, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking, guys. Here's where that came from.
So you would have used it not just on your teeth, but like, oh, let's get that, you know, off the countertop.
Yeah, that schmutz out of the, you know, the nooks and crannies of your bathroom sink.
Get Donna. She's got the schmutz hand.
Okay. All right. I didn't think it through. The reason I said that is because I saw something online that was saying it will change your life if you brush your teeth with your non-dominant hand in the morning, say I love you 15 times, and then take deep breaths like 3 times a day, like 25 deep breaths. I don't know. It was top of mind. That's why I said it. Welcome to the inside of my head.
I want to go back out.
Donna, want leave.
Did anyone say they wanted laser fingers? Because I would like laser fingers.
That was not on the list. What would you use the laser fingers for?
I don't know, various things.
Just like getting people's attention in meetings, things like that?
I mean, sure, it could be to play with cats, you know, that kind of laser.
Cute.
It also could be a laser that would melt through things.
I was going to say, could this like slice stuff?
Yeah. You know,
like, hey, let's split that chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, that's
Holly.
Right.
Zzz.
Thank you.
I guess that could be fun, yeah. I do feel like that smartphone thing, it seems so great, but then, I mean, talk about it's tough to disconnect, right?
Yeah.
You never have time away from your phone.
That's
unless
right.
you could detach your arm. Like, if you could detach your little toothbrush hand and then not bring it to dinner or whatever.
Mm.
Cool. But if it's always there, which is how they're setting this up, not great. By the way, we had puppies on at the beginning of the show. And Holly and Alexis are doing work with the Animal Humane Society. And so they had these little puppies in, and they're blue heelers. A listener pointed out to me, those are the dogs from Bluey.
Yeah, which is why he's called Bluey.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at us solving mysteries here.
Come on.
Bluey, the blue heeler.
Donna.
Huh?
You need to get it. Some people are like, no, don't. Puppy phase is so tough. I think people...
My fear is that I would start to feel resentful toward the puppy because I don't have the patience for like the chewing, the potty training, the barking in the middle of the night.
You know, I found that middle of the night stuff to be overblown. The most frustrating part with the puppy phase for us was that we had kids, littles, and they have razor sharp teeth, and they think that the mouth is a fun thing to play with. So they want to mouth on your arm. But when you have razor sharp teeth in there, that ends up causing problems. You have one or three or 10 crying kids come up at different points like, ow, Rex bit me again. And he's not biting, but he's mouthing. And he's got these sharp teeth.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem. But it's, I once had an on-air discussion about what's harder, kids or puppies. And somebody said puppies, and we've had both. That is such an overblown argument. It's like 2 or 3 weeks of life is upside down.
That's it?
The middle of the night stuff. Within like the third week of us having him, we were not doing any more take him out at 4 a.m. to go to the bathroom. You move past that so quick, it's okay. A blur. And then you're moving forward. The razor sharp teeth is the problem. That's right. The drawback.
Thanks, Steve.
For me!
All right.
Holly, thank you for helping get puppies in here today.
Yes! Yeah! Yay, Holly! Woman of the year!
Woo! Holly's out. Mike is in. Dirt Alert next.